Good morning, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Good morning once again. Thank you for tuning in to Early Morning Scoop. Thank you for choosing your favorite talk radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. And yeah, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here from the hour of 6 until hour of 8 in the morning. And this is your economic conversational program. So we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia, wherever you are finding yourself. We are greeting you. Some of you, you are going back home from work. Some of you are going to work. Some of you, you are planning the day. Some of you, still do not know what to do. Still do not know what to do, whether to wake up or to continue sleeping, whether to continue with the project that you have been working on. But yeah, what I can tell you this morning is that No one find it very easy. So it's very difficult when you are receiving motivation, but you need them. You just need to make sure that you stand up. You need to make sure that you stand up and do your best. And also, do not listen to negative things, because negative things, they drain you, and they also unfocus your vision. So just make sure that you focus on what is necessary. Wake up and focus on the game. And from me, David Shombe, we are here until the hour of 8, and we are going to give you economic development conversation from international, continental, and indeed at the national level. But for now, let's look at the commercial break.
Super bargains await you at USAFE, where you pay for the product and not the brand. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lovitz premium disposable nappies, 36.99 for 1 kilo Mama's High Foam hand washing powder, 750 milliliters Sunlight dishwashing liquid for only 32.99 Namibian dollars, and palm olive shampoo and conditioner for 34.99 Namibian dollars each. USAFE. I save. We all save at USAFE.
Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated to you, this is your program that we discuss business, we discuss economics, we discuss national development and everything which is related to bread and butter. Everything which is related to bread and butter. Yeah, that's why we are always indicating to you that this is the platform that is not only one directed conversation. This is a platform that we discuss almost everything which is related to the economy, because you cannot differentiate, or you cannot take away the economy from development of human beings. You cannot take away the economy from the history. You cannot take away the economy from the life of a human being, because the distribution of resources, the distribution of scarcity of resources, or the human survival, at the center of human survival. When you look at the history of civilization, economy is at the center of that. The economy is at the center of that. That's why we are always trying to ask questions. We are always trying to discuss issues. We are always trying to question, issues, and also giving you updates, particularly what's happening when it's coming to the global economy, what's happening in terms of geopolitics, and also what's happening in terms of financial institution, either it's Bretton Woods institutions or financial institutions at home, what is happening with the central bank, what is happening with commercial banks, what is happening with investment, what is happening with new initiatives, areas of financial inclusiveness, and also what is happening in terms of youth development. That's why we are always indicating to you that after every conversation that we bring about, we always make sure that we open the line so that we listen to you. You give us your perspectives, you give us your views, you ask questions, and you also give your comment and contribution, because we have a good understanding that for us to build institutions, for us to build a country, for us to move forward in terms of national priorities, we need to make sure that, we accommodate the various perspectives, particularly those which are having positive interest of our country. That's why we are always indicating to you that your views matter. It could be that you are a person who has more skills. You are a person who has more knowledge than a person who is here presenting. You are a person maybe who wrote 5 books about the topic that we are discussing about. You are a deep researcher about that topic. Or you are a person who have many years of practical experience, or you experience that first-hand experience about that issue. And that's why we are always indicating to say, institutions are not built by people who are always saying yes. Countries are not built by people who are always saying yes, sir, or yes, madam. But people who can argue respectfully in an understandable manner, in a way that you address issues instead of addressing a character of a person. And that's why different opinions, different views motivate research and innovation. So yeah, before we go to what we have for today, sorry, it's very good to indicate to you that you can connect to Eagle FM Namibia, connect with us at all our social media platform, that is Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Like our page and share our page, because you do not want to miss economic updates, social development updates, financial information. And make sure that you share our page, like our page. And also those who follow you will also be able to follow us and they will not miss out. Interestingly, we have our e-paper. That is your economic paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with e-paper, that is the Villager newspaper. Make sure that you like the page of the Villager newspaper. Share the page of the Villager newspaper. Read the Villager newspaper. If you are a researcher, if you are an economist, you are a youth development enthusiast, you are an activist, you are a farmer, you are a business person, you are a student of international relations, student of trade, make sure that you have the luxury of accessing the Villager newspaper, so that you make it part of your sources. If you are an academician, make sure that you read the Villager newspaper, because you get tips that will also give you direction where you are going to do your research. So you can also send your name to this number and save that as a WhatsApp contact. That is 081-241-44, 081-241-44. If you send your name there, you save that number every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, every Friday morning, you'll be able to receive the Villager newspaper. So you can also download the Eagle FM app. You can download the Eagle FM app. You can go to Play Store, go to App Store, type in the Eagle FM app. Then you download that Eagle FM app, put it in your phone. Then you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. And also, you'll also be able to listen to the previous program by accessing them via podcast. Because at the time that the frequency is not reaching you, at the time that the frequency is not reaching you, you do not need to worry. You do not need to worry, because we have advanced way of making sure that we keep you up to date, making sure that you get connected with us. Just download the Eagle FM app. And interestingly, this app can work anywhere you are, either it's in Namibia or either it's outside the continent. As long as you have access to internet, its operational mechanism is exactly like WhatsApp. And when you do that, you have access to news and you will not miss out. So, yeah. And lastly, before we go to what we have on the table, it's also very important to make sure that you download Imba app. Download Imba app. That is a digital version of a hymn book that is in Oshiwambo. That is a Angano. It's also in Oshierero, Maimburiro, in Afrikaans, in Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So make sure that you download Imba app so that you can have access to the digital version of a hymn book. Because, you know, it's almost December. You find yourself at church. You find yourself at weddings. You find yourself at events. Life events, you know, can be retirement. It can be, you know, graduation, it can be, you know, unfortunate, but indeed life events, such as somebody pass on. You have to be there and you have to sing from a hymn book. In a situation that you don't have it, don't need to worry. Download Imba app. We got you. We got you in the context that you have access to your full hymn book, and you can imba with us, you can sing with us. So make sure that you have a luxury of using that app, and get access to the right information at this world of digitalization and in this world of advancement in terms of technology. So before we go to what we have on the table, we are going to look at what is happening around the world. Then indeed, today I'm going to be joined by an activist, social justice activist, that is Sean Gariseb. And we are going to talk about several issues, particularly what's happening around Namibian economy, what is his view as an activist on the ground, what are some of the challenges which people are facing, particularly the young people, what are some of the opportunities which are there, and also how to iron out some of the information and also processes regarding the National Youth Fund, and what is his perspective on the National Youth Fund, and how can also young people, you know, access this, you know, opportunity, and also take this opportunity seriously. And that is what we are going to engage on. However, I'm going to be in conversation with Sean Gariseb after a few, after 20 minutes or so, But for now, let's look at commercial break. Then we can see what we have at an international news, what we have on international ground, what is happening out there, and also what we have, what happening in Africa and in Namibia too.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why...
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. Let us start with... Japan. Let us start with Japan. In a recently concluded Tokyo International Conference on African Development, the 9th International Conference on African Development, which was concluded last week, it was indicated that Japan deepened its ties with Africa with 300 new cooperation agreement. There are 300 agreements which are signed by the African leaders who, you know, visited Japan last week for a conference. They went to Japan for a conference. So that is known as Tokyo International Conference on African Development, the 9th conference, and it was indicated that this agreement cut across various sectors such as healthcare, technology, education, agriculture, and also investment. Now, it's a very good thing to understand what is happening, especially when it's coming to global affairs, when it's coming to areas of international relations, where countries have to enter into agreements and also have to make sure that they find areas of cooperation. And the question that you're asking yourself, what is the context of this agreement? What is into this agreement? What are the strings attached, or is just mutual beneficial relations? What are some of the strings attached? Who is benefiting more? How are they? And also, what impact are they going to have to Africa? Because it's not the first time. What is very interesting is that it's not the first time African countries can't get into agreements. It's not the first time African countries have been getting into agreements, MOUs, areas of cooperation from 1960s. But when you look 60 years later, let us pay the bills, then we can move forward.
Oma penda furege tu oganya nyere omore konjero manguruko. Moni na agasimane kaihe paku nyanyera onjira dagamina. Minga ehogororo jupenda gabeka ondapo omata ayera nagapame no madira adiro ogaera. Nongere to hingi wa aliko hiyodungo imangeramo etokara watonata. Ongwe omutona tirigonjo konona yawo. Esikundika joma penda fure omahogororo goye nagerekele upenda wawo. Kara ependa jasha siku, ninga shoka shomojira, etokupitha o mwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Want to know?
Yes, we are looking at Japan and also Africa, where there are 300 agreements which were signed, 300 new cooperation agreements at TICAD 9. And the question that you're asking yourself is that how different are these agreements from the previous one? How different are these agreements from the previous one? Because if you look at the history of TICAD, the first conference was held in 1993. And all those years, Africa and Japan have been in cooperation. Africa and Japan have been cooperation, and they have been working together in various areas, particularly in the areas of education. And looking at the way Africa is now, and also the standard of African countries, if you do an evaluation of the impact of assistance, for example, the impact of aid, the impact of, this economic agreement to Africa. Is Africa better now? Or is Africa moving toward the right direction? Or what are the shortcomings which come with cooperation with powerful nations which are advanced? Because you need to ask yourself this question, because one of the critical things that we are looking at is that you have a country which, or you have a continent which is a friend, which has friends all over. But these friends are growing. They are growing every day. Because look, Japan is a country. Africa is a continent of around 53 countries there. Then the population of Japan is just equivalent to the population of one of the African countries. The GDP of Japan is 2 times more than the GDP of Africa. That's how powerful Japan is, how strong Japan is in terms of development and also in terms of health sector. Japan is very strong to that extent. Is a country with highest life expectation or highest life expectancy. If you are living in Japan, you are guaranteed or you are guaranteed the possibility of you living beyond 67 is there because of their very strong health sector. Now, the questions that you need to ask yourself is that, what can we get from, can we get from Japan, can we get everything from Japan, or what area can we get from Japan? Where do we need to work on? Where are our grounds to say, okay, let us work in terms of health infrastructure and strengthen our health system. Then we do away with some of the health system that did not really help us. Some of the areas in terms of health sector that did not really help us. But the question that we are asking ourselves is that, what is the impact of this new cooperation? So let us look at this news. Let us look at this news, and also see how Africa development is going to be boosted. So it's always very important to look at what is behind the agreement, what is behind the agreement, how are we going to benefit, and what are some of the impacts that these agreements are going to have on you. So let's look at this.
It's a major boost to Japan-African relations as 300 cooperation agreements are signed during the 9th Tokyo International Conference on Africa's Development held this week. That's three times more than what was achieved at the last summit in Tunisia back in 2022. The announcement came on Thursday during day two of the conference in a high-level session attended by Angola's president, who currently chairs the African Union, and the Japanese prime minister. The agreements span key development sectors including infrastructure, healthcare, technology, education, and agriculture, all areas critical to Africa's growth and transformation. Officials say the sharp increase in partnerships reflects Japan's renewed commitment to long-term cooperation with African nations, as well as Africa's role on the global economic stage.
Yeah, that is it from that side of the continent, that side of the world, say. When you look at what happened, when you look at what happened in terms of signing of this agreement, and you also start to see that Minister Shigeru Ishida is becoming influential. It's becoming influential because Japan now is competing with China in terms of opportunities, in terms of cooperations with Africa. And it's not only that, everybody is also competing with everybody, especially when it comes to getting access to Africa. Because what is very interesting, what you need to know and what you do not need to ignore, is a question like this to say, why is this person helping me? What's special about me? I'm helped because there is something that I have that at one point this person may also want me to give him. And if that now happens, who is are this exchange happening at a level where everybody's benefiting equal, or I'm still going to continue losing if I've been losing? So that is a question that you need to ask yourself to say, why all the interests are in Africa? Number one, you have a youthful population. Number two, your minerals are still untapped, regardless of colonialism. There are still minerals to be discovered in Africa. You are the richest continent. But the question is that when you got into these cooperations, when you get into these agreements, at what cost? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. At what cost? And yes, you also need to give up some of the things, but at what cost? Are all these agreements needed? Or you just signed because you are presented with a paper? What are the terms and also conditions for that. Because remember, at the same time also, Japan also prayed to give Africa a loan of $5.5 billion. That will be used through, or that will be facilitated by African Development Bank. To be facilitated by African Development Bank. Then the question you need to ask yourself is that, at what interest rate, what are the terms and conditions? What happens if that loan is not paid on time? What is that that African leaders rejected? Because it's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing because there was a time when I used to hear people saying, no, Namibia formed signed a memorandum of understanding with this organization. Or Namibia got into economic relationship with this country. Namibia got into relationship with this country. Then I said, no, it's a good thing. But I want to see a point which is very clear to say there was a point that certain thing Namibia rejected or African countries were presented with a loan. Then they say they were going to think about it, about that. They were presented with a certain area of agreement and they said no. We are going to think about that. How many agreements were presented or how many offers were given that African leaders rejected? It's a very interesting thing to ask yourself, to say how many offers were given to African leaders and they rejected them. And they say, no, we are going to think about that, or that is not within us. Maybe try to amend here, or no, that's not how we operate, or we already have a better, a cooperation with a certain institution or a country that is giving us this rate and help us do this. So it's a very interesting question to ask. How many of the agreements, how many of offers we rejected, and how many also we renegotiated? Because when you are asking questions to say, for why are we still where we are? Yes, we have changed. We are not how we were for the past in the past 60 years ago. But compared to other countries, compared to other continents, we are moving at the pace of a snail. We are moving at that pace. And it's not good for an ordinary person who see these things, who see these agreements, infrastructure, health, technology and all these things. But there's still an ordinary person out there in Africa and also in Namibia who do not have access to these things. But yeah, it's something that we need to interrogate on. However, let us look at Guinea. It was indicated that African politics is very interesting. Now, you don't know if it's how things are, or if it's, it's not, I don't know if it's double standard or it's a new development. It was indicated that Guinea's junta or military leadership suspend three main political parties while they are going to be busy with national referendum on the constitution. They are going to have a referendum on the constitution. They are going to amend. They are going to try to have public views and also opinions about how to structure the governance of Guinea. For your own information, in 2021, the government of Alpha Conte was overthrown by a military leader. And this military leader has been promising return Guinea to civilian government. But for now, until now, the man is still in charge. And what is very interesting, the leader of Guinea, he's one of the former military leaders. He used to lead one of the, I think it's a protection unit, within, the structure of, Guinea's army. Now he suspended three main political parties, including that of, that party of, the former president. So, it's a very interesting news to look at. It's a very interesting news to look at. And also the question that we also need to ask yourself. Let us also not just say why they are suspended. It could be that they have done something. It could be that they have done something. It could be that there are certain things that they did not do. Because we only look at the victim. But things that we do not ask ourselves is that, what is the contribution of the victim to the case? So, it's always very important also to look at both sides to say, why is this military leader acting this way? Is he only acting this way because he's a military leader, or is reasoning? Why is he acting this way? Because looking at one thing from both sides, it have to bring it to the context of saying, okay, yes, this person is a victim. This thing was done to him or her. But what is the contribution of the victim to this situation? Then you'll be able also to understand. So it's very interesting to look at, especially when it's coming to countries such as Guinea.
Ahead of a controversy. Constitutional referendum campaign, Guinea's military junta moves to suspend three major political parties, including that of former President Alpha Condé, for 3 months. The suspension targets Condé's rally of the Guinean people, the Union of Democratic Forces, and the Party of Renewal and Progress. The move comes as Guinea braces for mass protests starting September 5th, organized by opposition groups to denounce what they call a power grab by junta leader General Mamadi Doumbouya. Doumbouya seized power in a 2021 coup that ousted Condé, who ruled for a decade. The referendum, scheduled for September 21st, aims to rewrite the constitution, but critics warn it could pave the way for Doumbouya to run for president, despite a previous ban on junta leaders standing in elections. The military government has banned protests since 2022 and cracked down on opposition leaders, forcing many into exile or arrest. Earlier this year, dozens of political parties were suspended or dissolved for failing to meet new regulations.
Yes, that is what's happening. That's what's happening in Africa. And just lastly, before we go to the conversation with Sean Garrison, just to look at what's happening in DRC. It was indicated that the prosecutor in the military court of DRC seeking for death penalty for the former president Joseph Kabila. So you know that there is an ongoing trial in DRC about this ongoing trial in DRC where the former president of DRC Joseph Kabila is being prosecuted. He's being prosecuted of terrorism, war crimes, human rights violations, and the prosecutor is seeking for death penalty, and there are also various parties which are seeking for Joseph Kabila's asset to be frozen, and also for the payment of millions of dollars. So, something that we need to look at, and what is very interesting, the ongoing trial is happening, while the former president is not present, and is still in question to say where is he, but there is still an ongoing prosecution going on. So let's look at commercial break, then we can engage our guest, then we look at what our guest has for us today. So stay tuned, we are here until the hour of 8.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, as I indicated to you, I'm going to be in the conversation with social justice activist. It's a well-known social justice activist, that is Sean Garrison. And most of you, you know him. He has been on the ground for a very long time. And he's very critical about developmental issues and also issues related to the economy and also national development. So, Sean Garrison, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for your time also. Thank you for avoiding yourself. I know, maybe before we go, what have you been busy with recently so far?
No, as usual, we've been advocating for various things that has been affecting communities around our country, especially those regarding service delivery, regarding youth, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, before we go to the context of the conversation, I want your perspective. You know, we got a new administration, we got an 8th administration. What are some of the 3 things that you think the new administration, you can comment it about? And also, what are some of the areas that you think need to be ironed out before we go forward?
No, most importantly, first, you know, new brooms are always good.
Okay.
And we must admit that because of the new breeze of air, there's a hands-on approach to things. Mm-hmm. You know, the motto of the administration, or they are defined by business unusual. And I like the fact that a lot of things are being done differently, especially pertaining to those issues that we have been confronting. When you look from what the new administration done in terms of how they perceive service delivery and what should be done, you can see it's different. There might be different views about as to whether it is genuine or not. It is the first 100 days and so, but I think we need to be positive about that. Also in terms of youth development and youth empowerment, it's very positive, and I commend the new administration on that. Whenever something is new, it needs to be given a chance. And I think it's only fair that we give a chance and we give the administration time.
An opportunity to prove itself.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yes. Looking at, there are still situations, because I want the concept of youth fund to interrogate that a bit later, but there are still situation. You are an activist, and you're right. People see what you do, and we appreciate what you do on the ground.
Yeah.
And there are still those main critical challenges that are not going away for quite a very long time. What are some of those things that Namibia still did not address? And we need to go hand on, maybe 2 or 3.
Look, there are developmental issues that are hindering progress in society.
Mm.
If you like, if you look at poverty, gender inequality, those things still persist. Even infrastructural shortages and corruption and poor governance. Those are things that need to be. As much as the administration is new, a lot of the components of the administration still remain as they are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those components are the ones that the administration must work with.
Mm.
And these are the same elements that have been that has been part of this corruption and this misgovernance. So that still needs to be fixed. It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, and it also as administration, it also... When people are new in office, it also takes time to know who to trust, which people are genuine, and that needs to improve.
Yes. Now let us look at youth. Now, just in general, because I also want to fit in this aspect of youth fund. What is the situation of Namibian youth? We meet them in club, we meet them at Kapana, we meet them at church, we meet them in the street, we meet them in a taxi. What is the situation of an average Namibian youth, particularly from, just look at an urban area and also rural, just in general?
Look, you know, this thing of youth is because when you say Namibian youth, you have different kinds of youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because a youth person in age and in classification is a young person classified as youth 15 to 35, 36 years.
Mm.
But you have that youth who's sitting at home in Cape Lachte, in Kwisebon, in Katutura.
Mm-hmm.
You have that youth in the village.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that youth which is well-resourced,
mm.
which who can manage himself,
mm.
and then you have that youth who has gone through everything, who is educated and who is sitting without a job at home.
Mm-hmm.
That is the environment of a youth in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at provisions and opportunities that are there for young people, you ask yourself, like, you see, most young people are associated with being in clubs and whatnot.
Yes.
There are so many provisions that are availed in efforts. Even the National Youth Policy spells out four essential pillars for young people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? They look at the well-being of youth.
Mm.
But which youth are we talking about when we are looking after youth? Remember, in our education system, if you look at the last 20 years, from grade 10 and 12, how many young people are thrown out in the streets? How many young people do not get absorbed in the to further their education or to get reabsorbed into the education stream? What happens to those thousands of youth that are thrown out in the streets for the 20 years?
Mm.
They are the same people who contribute to the unemployment statistics. They are the same people who contribute to the frustration. All these things you see, frustrated, mental health issues, depressed. Those are the people, because they are youth. If they are thrown out maybe 10, 15 years ago, they are still part of the youth bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, what happens to them? Where are they? Where do they go in our country? They are just there in the corners, just there at homes, frustrated, nowhere to go, provisions are limited. That is the young people we are talking about.
Yeah, I think that is a point. I agree with you on that, because, you know, even the system itself is like limiting somebody who just end up not continuing grade 8, for example. That person is in a more difficult situation than me looking for a job with my grade 12, or maybe with my certificate or a diploma. That one, the system, even the education system, I know Kayak and few of them are trying to integrate them, but majority of these people is a neglected, I call it a neglected piece of generation that is very difficult to, but maybe, how do you think that issue need to be addressed?
Look, it's true. There are a lot of government initiatives like those. National Youth Policy. Mm. They consider youth education, skill development, youth health, youth empowerment, civic participation, and awareness. You find these provisions like National Youth Council, National Youth Service.
Mm.
But the problem is the people are not. They are not benefiting from those things. The people are not part of those things. Because, you know, the country is vast. When you are talking about a youth sitting there in Kurenkuru or in Kachinakachi there, or the youth is there deep in the north, how do they access these things when there's not enough awareness around these things? When you are in deep Kunene as a youth who is not in this stream or the other one, who not in that system, who did not go to school until at grade 12 or until at varsity level, what happens to you? You see, what happens to the youth that is self-correcting himself in the sitting in TUMEP? Those are the things that need to be interrogated and corrected so that you can take care of the youth collectively and in terms of where they suit. And also while being careful of not having the same youth take the spaces in all. Like, for example, when you looked at tendering in Namibia, if you look at different industries, you will only find the same people. He's in the fishing industry, he's in the construction industry. All the industries, just the same people. You must make sure you don't repeat that with the provisions of youth that are there, so that you can be able to empower all the youth in different different situations, in different areas, in different constituencies and regions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now let us look at the National Youth Fund. You know, we have been talking, I've been also complaining about being asked by a bank to give collateral as if I don't have anything. And we see the government came up with National Youth Fund, and there is more than 250 million on the table. Now, what is your view on National Youth Fund before we go to details? So what is your view with the initiative itself in general?
I think the initiative is a very, very progressive one. Mm. I think it's progressive in that the fact that it's an alternative just for the youth.
Mm-hmm, yeah? Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm surprised at the requirements which we will get in. But I'm saying it's a good thing because you must remember what is in the pipeline is also a community development fund. Mm-hmm. I just hope this National Youth Development Fund takes off the burden of the Community Development Fund.
Okay, just stay on the line, eh? Just stay on the line. We're going for a commercial break.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Yes, let's continue.
So I was saying it's good that this strategic intervention by government, which seeks to address the pressing challenges that youth face, can create like access to finance for young people, and it I hope it also takes off the burden of other provisions that government has for society in general, like the community development fund that is in the pipeline, whereby those that are not young can rely on that, and then the young can rely only on the youth development fund. Like that, you can create a better atmosphere for everyone, because you see, we have this mantra saying that Namibia is a country where people should not be suffering. So when this initiative is welcomed and it is progressive, it just needs to be managed and run well.
Yes. What are the shortcomings? What are the shortcomings? I know people, different prominent people, they spoke about the dates, and I understand it was extended. And maybe what are the shortcomings from information wise to the content of what is needed for you to get access to fund?
Look, in the past week, we had the meeting in Gatutura there, and there in Gatutura on a Wednesday, and then we also went to see the governor with some young people on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is that, and I was telling the governor also, what you see from this youth initiative is that information is not properly out there. Mm-hmm. Information is not properly out there in that not enough awareness was raised, and the youth do not know. Now we have a situation where they are saying this is a pilot project, which is fine. It's a pilot project. But now you have youth rushing to do things and just to submit. Now, that is not a problem. But now the problem comes here. We were asking, there is no legal framework. Ne? There is no NDA, non-disclosure agreement. So what? Who protects your proposal when you give it in? Mm-hmm. There is no guarantee that even if you apply for the pilot period, mm-hmm. that you will get the loan. How many people are getting in these regions only? And then what most people have been asking, why is there then a due date? So one ask yourself, you must make a youth go through all this registration process and what not, mm-hmm. and then they end up not getting approved. You must remember, when you go and register at BIPA, mm-hmm. you must be subjected to requirements and things that you must comply with from NAMRA,
yeah.
like tax, what, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So you will be subjected to those things even beyond your rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you are now coming back and saying the business registration is not a priority, what about those young people who are having everything in place? Because even when we were there were people who were already ready. I don't know if they were told prior to the announcement, but they already have everything.
Yeah,
no. So you know what will happen?
Yeah.
When these people go and apply, they will ask, but I need all the requirements. Why was my proposal not taken? I want to understand why I was refused. That's because you don't have a legal framework. But legal framework does not limit anything. We have Article 18 that you can rely on. So you can, if you want recourse, you can go to court and you can seek recourse there. But I'm just saying, those are some of the challenges. But one understands that it is a pilot project, and a pilot project is such that you have to, you check this and you must do risk analysis from these kinds of things. But
yeah.
I just think it could have been done in different way. Like a pilot was supposed to be in all regions, at least, even if it's a pilot in all regions, so that it can be fair. The testing is fair to everyone in every region, not just in four regions.
Yeah, you ask a very good question to say, why a due date? Why, if I want loan from a bank, they do not give me, they don't give due date. If funds are there, why there is a due date? And it's actually a very good question. And the other thing is also about, information, clarity of information, and also the aspect that you mentioned about there are some youth that they are already having something. You know, it's very interesting also to see, because some of the type of businesses that young people want, some of the documents that they may want, they can even take a month, for example. Talk about issues of those who are in environment. Is this environmental clearance, a certificate, there are things, process that need to be taken. What about those young people who want to just enter that that area? I think it's a good question that you have asked. And in terms of date, do you think it was rushed, or why is young people are cornered to make sure that they submit?
Look, that is the biggest question. Even the extension from 25th or 18th to the 4th of September, it's still not sufficient. Why, if it's a trial run, why are we having a due date? Why can't we, because, you see, Barthes leaked the trial run. When the announcement was made about the due date, it was maybe like only 2 weeks. So all the young people, you see, the problem here is most young people are not prepared, because the idea is to empower the young people.
They're already unemployed. They do not have money. They have to go and seek for some funds again to make sure that they got the requirements and all those things.
Yeah. And as who are advocating for the empowerment of young people, especially those that are disadvantaged, in that they are at the village, they are in those locations, they are not well skilled or not well educated. Those ones who need help, who need to be brought back into a productive stream, to be productive citizens again. Those people are sitting and they have no idea. So a business proposal costs up to 2,500. A proper business proposal, for you to have it checked by somebody. There are processes that you must follow. Now there is a deadline, and people don't even know what to do. And most of these people are sitting with similar ideas. Because we also need to have a way, you know, that's why we are proposing that there must be proper consultations in all constituencies and all regions, so that people can properly understand, oh, I can also do this. Because even when we were doing these meetings, you can see the people don't even know in which areas they can have proposals. They just think, oh, is it in agriculture or what? They don't understand. That is the problem we are sitting. And then you have a deadline. And it's very dangerous when people are doing things just to meet a deadline. Then they don't do it properly.
Yeah. Now, while we are there, what are some of Because I understand it's a pilot, and you mentioned a very important point, especially when you talk about there are also those young people who do not have anything. Somebody does not even have a smartphone to access, what is happening around, and further, information regarding that business. Now, looking at the young people that we have seen, how in your evaluation, how do you think, in terms of those who really need, how do you think this youth fund will be utilized when you are looking at it? Are the young people ready to do business, or they want funds? They just want fund. Are they ready? Just the general perspective from young people. I know you have been on the ground and you sit with these people every day.
You see, that is exactly why we said, even though we have reservations about this fund, let's prepare our young people in our communities, because they are the ones who will always be last. They are the ones who are not having access to information. So we thought, guys, let's gauge how ready are these young people. Where do they lack? How can we help them? That's why you saw we said, as young professionals, let's get the young lawyers, young accountants, young economists. Let's go and speak to these people and gauge where is the lack. You see, you must remember, a person who has just been at home 7 years unemployed, this person, you see, you give him $600 to $1 million, and you did not prepare him properly. There is no plan for fund aftercare. This is what they call fund aftercare department, where you sort of have a department that assesses what you do with the funds after you have given the funds, like what they have with National Investment Promotion and Development Board, where they look at as to whether you agree, whether you comply with taxes, whether you are doing what you are mandated to do. Further training after you have gotten funds. Because if you just give these young people a lot of money, you must remember they are from this cash content generation. So these people, what they will do is they will use some of that money how it's not supposed to be used. Okay. Just like with what tender people did.
You just kill us.
and you must remember there's also no collateral. There is no collateral, meaning that the money is just there in your account, and you must just employ it. You can simply say, I'm going to employ 100 people, you get 1 million, and then you just employ 5 people. So we need to prepare them properly that this is what we need to do, this is what we need to explore, so that you can have continuity, you understand? Because the people are despondent, they are sitting at home, they don't have anything, they don't have training on or how to deal with big amounts of money once they get it, and then you just create a provision and then you put it in their account after they have qualified from a probably even just after an AI generated proposal. So that's why we are saying, let's prepare the people, let's help each other to think outside of the box. By that we can say, young professionals who are a little bit advanced, they can come back and say, where your challenges are like this, we can do like this, we can do. Even when we were at the meeting, there were people making undertakings. Accountants were making undertakings to help the young people to a certain extent. The lawyers are there from Kadila Momo to assist the people to a certain extent. But we can't be everywhere because we are not government. You see, we can't be everywhere. We are just trying to help communities where we can. So when we were here in Windhoek, now we are invited to Okahanja and we are invited to Wolfish Bay to go and do similar things. So we are just also trying to help the young people because we know we are also coming from where they are coming from. We know how difficult it is when you can't even have a smartphone, when you don't have access to Wi-Fi and you are sitting at home. It becomes very difficult. Even when the opportunity is there, you can't afford the opportunity. You know, if you build 300 houses today, not everybody, 300,000 houses, not everybody will afford those houses in Namibia.
Indeed.
Even in Windhoek. That is the same thing.
Yes, Sean, let us look at, just before I let you go, let us look at the employed young people. Because there are always those young people who have, they have side hustles or they have businesses that they have started. How do you think, is it okay for somebody who is working to participate in this youth fund?
I think it is okay, because as long as the people are young, but and they are part of the democratic process. They must, because those young people who are employed and who are a little bit advanced in their lives also sit with expertise, sit with experience. So, you know, just as what I was saying, we can't exclude some, but we must also be careful. Now you have the people having opportunities, are taking opportunities both sides. You have a person who's already well-resourced and well-advanced coming to take an opportunity that we could have given to that person sitting in Walusu, who does not have anything at all. That we must be careful about that. You can't do that. The problem is having, there's this, on that application form, there's this use percentage. That is the biggest problem, because you will have people who are not even young, but who are maybe very, very well, they are well off, they can fund anything, they can fund these things in 1 week, and then they just use proxy, young people as proxies, and they are the ones running. Those can be the same people who have experience in how to maneuver around these tenders and things that will take advantage of that provision. And we really want that provision to be taken away. It must just be used 100%. Yeah, maybe the mentorship and other things can be done by the others, but the youth, that youth ownership or the ownership percentage thing does not, it is the one which is more problematic than having a young employed person benefiting from this provision.
Yes. Lastly, there is always, you know, because youth is a category that we use, and there is always at that time post youth. Maybe according to National Youth Act of 2009, is saying until from 16 to 35. But if you are 36, 37, until 45, you are still a young person. And looking at the way we are currently in Namibia, in Sandek we are the highest. We are in terms of unemployment, to say, but there are still people who did not enjoy their youth because of situation, but they still have capacity and ability also to do things. What do you think about that portion of the society in terms of?
Yeah, that is a very good question, because even the youth who is 35 now, and next year when the rollout is properly in place, is 36, will not qualify. And then that is a big problem, because people feel left out. And if I'm 36, 37, I'm still very, very relatively young, and I might have lost. But that's what I was saying. This fund, it must be well managed, but it must also align with other provisions of government. Like, government must fast track the community development fund, so that other people can also have avenues to empower themselves. Because it's one thing that I've seen in Namibia is people like to be populist about things. You just say youth, and then you pump money there just because it sounds nice, but you don't have problem. Then you create a problem for those people that are outside that bracket. You understand? So that's why because the community development fund in the constituencies with a good, because not this 250,000 per constituency. If you have community development fund similar to what is here, then you'll have a huge, huge improvement in the livelihoods of the ordinary Namibians on the ground. Because you have youth provisions, you have provisions for the ordinary citizen, and then it will be, as long as everything is done, and that is where we trust in the administration, and we must give them and judge them on those. If they are honest intentions to bring change to the lives of Namibians, that is how you must look at it. Okay, we've done the youth development provision. Now let's look at the community development provision. And then let's improve the other ones that are there. And then people must also be less greedy. You can't be everywhere. You can't be in tenders. Now you want to benefit from youth. Now you can't be like that.
Yeah.
It will not help. That is the only way. Because when you are in everything, when you eat everything, then other people will be hungry. Let other people also eat and share. Yes.
I just want your message to the young people out there who are in the process of applying for this fund. We know it's very critical, it's very chaotic, but we must get that fund so that at least we can help ourselves and our community, and also maybe to create something out of it. Just your message to the young people out there, especially those who are in the process. Some they already gave up. Some, you know, they just at the center to say, if it goes, it goes. If it doesn't, I'll continue suffering. But the money is there. The money is ours. But it's a bit complicated, especially right now. But what is your message to them? Just your message to them, those who want to, but there are some who want to give up also.
Look, my message to young people is what we let's prepare ourselves. Let's not listen to other noises that don't matter. Like not that they don't matter, but that don't affect the thing. Those political noises are not for us.
Yeah.
Let's prepare ourselves as young people so that you can position yourself. Yes, it's a pilot project. Yes, there are reservations we all have. We want things to be improved. We must propose these things and say, can you change this? Can you do this? Only when many voices are saying that will the government also be able to say, no, here we must improve and there we must improve. What we are getting is it will eventually be 500 million per year. Now, if you sit back and you don't want to participate in such things, you'll stay behind. As young people who are sitting there thinking, you despair and you think, what will I do with my life? I'm just here in the village, or I'm just here deep in these small towns. Don't despair. Try. Let's ask. Let's read. Let's share information. Let's network as young people. We don't have these things. Let's network. I was telling the governor, constitute a meeting for the people. So that he said the meeting was cancelled because the stakeholders cannot come. I said, we try to make a meeting so that the young people can come here. These young people who come will take this message to others. Some of us, we have relatives in villages.
Yeah.
When you tell the other person, the person is able to explain better. Let's ask each other. We are doing these things with rumors and social media things.
Yeah.
What is difficult when a provision like this, a nice provision like this, and we don't share this the way we are sharing rumors and other things? So let's prepare ourselves. Let's share information with our colleagues, our brothers and sisters. Let's not say, those are village boys. No. Let's help them. Those people can also be, the idea is to empower all of us. Whether you are a village boy, whether you are a college boy, whether you are a salary boy, we must all help each other so that we can empower each other. So my message is, let's prepare ourselves as young people, and let's help where we can. Young professionals, let's help the young people.
Yes, Sean Garisep, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for inviting yourself. And we value and appreciate your contribution. And thank you for making time.
Thank you very much.
Sharp. Yes, that is Sean Garisep. He's a youth activist. And he highlighted some very important point, especially when it's coming to youth development in Namibia. Looking at youth fund, what are some of the opportunities there? What are some of the challenges? He spoke on the clarity of information, spoke on the clarity of information, spoke on the date, spoke on the legal framework, and also spoke on the aspect of young professionals to help those who are in need, to assist those who are in need, and also to give them a chance. And also sharing of information, it's a bit not really chaotic, but the information is still not yet getting out of there. And also credit of information, and you find, and he also spoke on on the aspect of preparation before the money come in. Before the funds come in, we know it's a youth fund, it's 257 million. And I hope everyone will get the portion there. And also, getting something without collateral is a good thing. However, getting something and you are not prepared about it can also be very dangerous. We have seen what happened during the time of tenders. We have seen what happened during the time of tenders, where tenders were given here, there, this side and that side. We see what happened with people. There are those who handle their finance very well, and until now, they still be able to see that, they have used their finance and they still have it. And there are those who got the money, and if you ask them, what did you do with that money? They will not be able to tell you. They will not be able to tell you where is that golf that was, making sound the whole town. They will not be able to tell you. But it's always very important, especially in the aspect of dealing with finance. Yeah, that's why the aspect of financial literacy also come in, financial management,
and handling finance very well. That is one of the aspects which also need to be there, because it's young people. And it's actually a very good initiative. If you put 270 million on the table, let them benefit those who are in need. If an elder is participating in this platform, I mean it is initiative, let that person participate there, not for himself. Maybe in terms of giving technical advice, in terms of giving business advice. And that is the aspect that need to be looked at. So yeah, you can engage us in the studio. You can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. You can ask your question, you can give your view, you can also ask for clarification or clarify some issues, give your comments on the news that you have got, and also on the main conversation that we just completed with Sean Gariseb. He's a youth activist, and it's quite a very good thing. It's quite a very good thing to stand out there and be selfless. Assist people, giving them information and opportunity. And we don't see value. And we don't see value in this. Somebody stand up to assist you for free. Or somebody stand up to give you information for free. And he has his own time and space. But because of the situation that the person see standing up, and also putting himself at the front line. That's why, you know, in Namibia, activism is not really seen as something which can assist people. And when somebody stand up for you and say, this is what we need, is raising a point. And in Namibia, we have this thing of, when you want something, you can go to a person and say, no, chief, you have this knowledge, come and assist us. But when this person made just one mistake or end up in trouble, we all back off. We know what happened. I don't want to give names. What happened to activists in Namibia? But that is not where the point I'm going. I'm just saying it's also sometimes very good to appreciate and also respect those who stand up for you, those who can go to offices and ask for information for you. And also don't take their time for granted, which is quite very crucial. When people are saying, young people, there is money out there, lest they get the money, but not getting the money to go and dance. Lest they get the money so that we can do something for ourselves and also for our community. Because imagine injecting 257 million into the market, and at the hand of young people, how different that. What difference that amount of money can make. So let's look at the caller. Hello.
Hey, Mr. David.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Yeah, so I listen. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And I listen to Mr. Gariseb.
Yeah, Sean Gariseb. Yeah.
Gariseb. So, and those are the people who are actually needed to activate some information into the people. Because that opportunity, really, we need to just appreciate. I understand the administrative issues, challenge of, say, registering your business and these things. And you know that thing?
Yeah.
So, and I'm telling you, because I'm just telling from experience.
Yeah.
So to register a business with VIPA, that takes you almost 7 working days. I don't know whether they have reduced it.
Yeah.
And then from there, and then the Social Security, and then which is for outstanding, I mean, good standing. Those processes, I know they are there, administrative issue. But they will not take you, if you are really committed and serious.
Yeah.
They won't take you a week.
Yeah.
You understand? They will not take you a week. When you need to work, so those who do not have a good standing, we tell them, because do you have to get into the, what is it, not tendering process, but that process where, so they have to provide some services.
So
they do it even a day too, within 2 days.
Yeah.
So I understand it's true, those are things, but now as compared to the 1 million, if you team up yourself together, then maybe you are four, you can have that access to that funding, and you can administer it effectively, ethically. So I don't think there is really, it's just a good something, it's a good gesture, actually, or whatever you call it.
Yeah,
for the people to appreciate and take opportunity for that thing.
Yeah, it's a good gesture. What is your view on youth collaboration? In youth collaboration, because you find, for example, you have a lawyer, you have an accountant, you have somebody who studied business and somebody who studied hospitality, for example. But we are all fighting for one thing.
No. You are actually good. It's good because the problem is that they do not collaborate.
Yeah.
People don't work together. They want to go it alone.
Yeah.
And to go it alone, I also have the fear that, if I give you this money now, we'll be able to manage it.
It's greedy.
We are not going to squander it. So at least if two are better than one. Put your effort together, do the thing, and you know, they will also be given some kind of mentorship, I think, some kind of skills, you know.
What is it,
balance sheet or whatever you call it, so that, but at least encourage, the activists, let them go in the community or wherever they can mobilize their community, their youth, there who are there. There are quite a number of them who are very valuable, and they have got the knowledge and all these things to mobilize them. Because most of this information, like you said, let's respect the people who are providing us information. We do not do that. So they are just on TikTok. TikTok. We don't know whether this TikTok, that's also, you know, this thing also crops up there, but honestly speaking, so let's just appreciate and then mobilize ourselves.
What is your view on information dissemination and also on the date of a youth fund? Do you think the information was well taken? Is the due date okay?
When is the due date again?
It's on the 4th of September. It was extended. It was supposed to lapse already.
Imagine. So you see, okay, the date, now that was extended, that means it came some days back.
Yeah.
Now that it's extended again. So the my view there, the information dissemination, my brother, how many times have we listened to Eagle FM talking about this without collateral security? So many times.
Yeah.
There was even the Kanjokampwa Nyoka when he was there. He was even challenging us. People, come up with a business plan. I'm going to help you to take it to one of my friends who's an economist. Without pay, I'm going to stand for you guys. And then a month or 2 months came. Nobody has submitted the thing, and Kanze was very disappointed. So the question is, all these things, dissemination, you people, I think the information are gone, because I was sitting in the place where people were after the barrier, and they were used, a lot of them.
Oh.
And they were discussing about those things.
Mm-hmm.
They were discussing about these things, and then I was challenging them. Some of them, they were saying, no, we needed some collateral security. Those ones are very close to my people, me now.
Yeah.
And they say, you guys, I'm not going to do that. So this is an opportunity for you. And they were talking. So Development Bank of Namibia, I went to their show there just yesterday.
Yeah.
I was checking, where is this thing that you people are talking about? No, this one is in the constituency and what. And there are still there. There are forms for outstanding, the form for BIPA, the form, all kind of forms. They are there. But people are just passing by in the trade fair there. They are just passing by. They are not asking.
So you are actually
doing good in disseminating information.
Yeah.
So then maybe there was necessity for them to extend it. And I think let's just take opportunity for those.
Okay, now before I let you go, what is your view on the portion of the population which is suffering the same thing, but they are not included, let me say, from 35 to 45 there, because there are always those who according to the categorization, they are still young. However, due to that limit, they are not being able to be part of that. Well, what do you think need to be done?
I think maybe something that fits their age or their energy or whatever.
Yeah.
They can also craft up, what is it? They can also come up with another benefit that will really help them. Because those ones, like you are saying, it's true, they might not be youth, they are just the kind of, you think it's the young adults or maybe in that category.
Yeah.
So I think there's also a need for them to find something. But are they not in catered for the other area? Because when you go into development bank of Namibia, for example,
yeah,
they wear those artisans. And the artisans there, they don't say young artisans. So there are also those who are actually artisans or technical people. So have done those vocational training and things like that. So if they can find something for them, and they need to cater all of them, I don't know, maybe you need to go to the legal people and find out of this one. Is it perhaps a discriminatory kind of an issue? If not, are there some areas or scheme that cater for them? If not, then perhaps we really need to realign our thinking and then cater for them at least. And those are the ones also who commit a lot of suicide, because they have got now into the level where they can really provide for their family, for their children and things like that. Many of them, they have established their family. So if they have established their family, that means the social roles and responsibility for them to take care of their children and things like that is also a challenge. So let's also see how we can include them.
I think it's a very good point, especially in that that sector of reaching that age where you have to make sure that you are part of, not part of, but you are the main contributor actually, and you are moving somewhere. So thank you very much. Thank you for
welcome,
input.
Thank you. Welcome.
Sharp. Yes, this is our uncle. So he's ready to contribute, particularly issues of national development, especially issues of national development. And he mentioned some quite crucial points, especially when it's coming to the young people and also youth fund. What is that we need to do? He touched on the aspect of respecting those who can go to the community and give you information, giving you their time, and also the aspect of collaboration. It's always very important to be two than one, because you actually not achieve anything if you just stand on your own. If you are just one, you will not achieve anything. That's why if you want to say that people are needed, just look at how many people you spoke to today or assisted you to get to where, or to get where you are. You spoke with different people. Somebody has to open a gate for you. Somebody has to do this. Somebody has to drive you to work, or somebody have to wash your car. Then it will put you in the context of business. Yes, you can operate a very small business alone, but at the end of the day, if you are in the aspect of youth development, for example, in the context of the youth fund, you always need to be with somebody, because one person is always, two people are always better than one, and there's always something that you do not know. Because what I'm always asking myself is that, you know, there are times where you are sure that something is correct and you can defend it with your life, but you're actually out of the topic. You are actually not, maybe just 20% correct. That's why when you listen to another person and ask to say, how about doing this? Then the perspective and the view that you are going to get is going to be valuable, and it's going to assist you. That's why just ask yourself this question. How many times have you thought that you are right, but you are actually not right at all? Or you needed somebody's view, or you are just 80% correct? And you're even ready to put money on the table to say, no, I'm correct, let's go and look for proofs. But yeah, that is something that we need to look at. That is really something that we need to look at. So, dear listeners, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 20 minutes before we go to the end of our conversation. Let us look at, let us pay the bills, then we move forward.
Oh.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend,
Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of national development. We are touching on the area of Youth Fund. How many of young people are aware of Youth Fund? How many information? What information do you disseminate? What is your understanding of Youth Fund? And one of the things that I was also mentioned, the aspect of preparation before the assistants come. Because it's always very good to plan about something before you get it. And it's also very good to coach young people, especially on how to use this fund, because unplanned money, it's already money gone. It's money on its way to leave you, or it's money left you. Because if you don't plan about that, money has a way of leaving you without knowing that it left you. Then you think you are robbed, but you are not robbed. We just did not plan about it, and it finds ways on how to live. So that is why Sean Garrison indicated to say, look, somebody has been in the street for 7 years, no opportunities, then you give him 1 million, for example. You may end up killing this person. Not literally, but things that this person may end up doing, investment that he is going to make, things that he's going to look at, the standard that he's going to live in, because he did not know about that. And once, if you train this person to say, when money comes, this is how business is being done, this is how you deal with finance, this is how you deal with services, this is how you deal with your stock, this is how you invest for your business, this is how you invest in risk management, for example, in case of emergency. This is how you deal with these issues, or this is how you collaborate with others. It will be more easier for this person to sustain that fund. But in a situation that there is no plan about it, things will not work out. Things will not work out. And this person may end up putting him into deep trouble. Because of inability to give this person financial literacy. And also, you also need to look at the areas of monitoring and evaluation. Yes, we understand this is a pilot project. But what are some of the guiding principles there? The legal framework about it. Where are you standing on? We understand that this is for assisting of young people to do business. And who's going to monitor these things? So, but actually it's a very beautiful initiative. It never happened before. And it's one of the direct, benefit for the young people, which is actually a very good thing. And it's up to us young people to say, no, yes, there is due date, but is it necessary for us to complain about the due date or about the chaotic of the situation? Or is it important for us to stand and see how can we benefit from this and how can we help our community with this funds? So dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are speaking about youth development. We are speaking about youth fund. We want your perspectives about youth fund. What do you think of the youth fund? What do you think about it? What are some of the things which need clarification? What are the shortcomings? And what is that young people need to know? You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. And the other aspect that we need to look at, you can call back. The other aspect that we need to look at is also the aspect of the people who are beyond 35. People who are beyond 35, because the system itself, or the structure of our economic system, and also the structure of our governance system, has a way of unknowingly, or maybe knowingly, reject certain types of people in the society. So you find, because we always speak about the youth getting opportunities, but we don't speak about those who do not have anything. You are still a young person. Because in every generation, there is somebody that you are born with, same age, somebody who did not, or end up in grade 5. Either that person was sick, or he ran out of school, but he's still a person within the same community. But when opportunities are coming, he's the least, or he's not even been seen. And when you see people who give up about life, these are kind of people, not really because they want to give up, because everywhere a person go to look for a job, everywhere a person go to do something, they are asking to say, no, you must have what? You must have at least a grade 10, you must have at least a grade 10 is no more used to, you must have at least a grade 12. But this person can still do other things that the person, that people can do. You must still have a person, imagine a job of a cleaner, which I'm not downgrading, but it does not require areas of sophistication. But I say, no, at least a grade 12 and understanding of English and all these things. But imagine now somebody wants opportunity. And the same applies also to youth fund. They are all young people. But what about those who pass that age? Limit is 35. What about the 36? Who is 36, 37, until 45? And what Uncle have said is a very important point to say, no. You look at areas from 35 to 45. In this case, this is a time where a lot of people are taking care of they have started family, they have responsibilities. And if they find themselves in a situation where they are not able to to support their families. They'll find horrible ways to get out of that, which is it is seen around to say everybody needs an opportunity, but everybody needs also to, there must be ways of including those who are in need, because it's a bit of a crisis. It's a bit of a crisis. So those are some of the things that that we need to look at. And on the other news, we also need to look at the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out, and you must get time. To read the Villager newspaper. Read the Villager newspaper, because we are always telling you to say, you know, some of you are a student of agriculture, you are a student of economics, student of trade, business people, researchers. Make the Villager newspaper part of your sources of information. If you make it part of your sources of information, it will be more easier for you to navigate through life. Because when you need to make an economic decision, you need data, you need insight. And you can only find that with the Villager newspaper. You can only find that with the Villager newspaper, where you look at, there's an aspect of, and I understand, Michael will assist you when he is going to unpack the day with what is in the Villager newspaper. It's an aspect of green schemes. What is happening with green schemes? There's aspect of private sector and corruption. This aspect of banking. So it's an aspect of, you know, farming, sunflower harvest, and, you know, how many jobs were created in that. And you can also get inside what is happening at the Ogwediva Trade Fair. You get inside what's happening in Ogwediva Trade Fair. And you can also get inside what is happening, particularly when it's coming to intra-Africa trade, what is happening to intra-Africa trade. And you also understand what is happening with African Continental Free Trade Area, what is happening with African Continental Free Trade Area, and you find also advertisement there, that is USAVE, find advertisement there. And that's why we're always indicating to you that, you know, when you want to advertise your business, it's always very important to make sure that you contact our marketing team. Contact me, Monica. Contact our marketing team. Then you'll be able to reach your potential customers around the globe. Because in the world of digitalization, a digital platform is an open platform where if you have business and you advertise with the Villager newspaper, for example, which is read by a lot of people around the world, economists, business leaders, then you have an opportunity to get clients, because we are always indicating to you that money spent on advertisement is money on the way to come to you, because an investment in advertisement is a good investment. Talk to our marketing team. You can advertise with the Villager newspaper, and you can also buy airtime on radio. Then you'll be able to reach your clients. You'll be able to reach your clients, and you make your life more easier because you are working smart. And it's more easier when you are dealing with when you are advertising with us. More easier when you are advertising with us. So, dear listeners, we have around 8 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. I think it's also very important to look at the aspect of the 5G, the aspect of the 5G. You know, the world is moving very fast. The world is moving very fast. And there are always new development. There are always new development, especially when it's coming to technology. It was indicated that MTC launched a 5G service in the country. And the deployment of 5G network, which is available now in Windhoek, Swakopmund, and Walvis Bay, and is expected to be expanded in the whole Namibia in few months. And with 5G, it's a fast way of connectivity. You will not struggle with internet anymore. You will not struggle with internet anymore. And when you are downloading your things, it's in the blink of an eye. In the blink of an eye. And it's a good news. And when you listen to Monica Nehemia, who is Chief Technical and Information Officer, indicated that, you know, 5G will serve as a key catalyst in advancing innovation industries in Namibia digital economy. And if you are using internet, especially clients of MTC, there's new development, there's new advancement. MTC is saying it's number one, bringing 5G. New developments there. And it's actually a very good thing, because innovation and the world of digitalization require fast internet, connectivity. You are not required to struggle anymore when you are connecting, to internet. And when you are accessing your information, and some of the emails need to be sent fast, received very fast, to save time and energy. And I think with 5G, there will be some new development. And the question you ask yourself is that, in terms of service is good, but in terms of infrastructure and also technological devices, how many Namibians have technological devices? For example, how many of Namibians have WhatsApp, and how many of them are able to afford data? It's an issue of affordability. How many of them are able to afford data? And also, how many of them are able to keep up with the change of technology? Because what we are always discussing is that development is not a problem. Infrastructure development is not a problem sometimes. But you also need an area where human beings stand, that they meet those infrastructure. Because providing me with internet is not a problem. But having a device and also being able to afford a device and also being able to have basic human needs, that is what is necessary. And it does not only apply to, it the same applies also to, same applies to electricity, apart from internet, electricity, electrification, the area of electrification, where you have by 2030 a target of 70% of the whole 70% of the households in Namibia to be electrified, is a good thing. But what do we do about affordability? What do we do about affordability? How many of people in Namibia can afford electricity? Am I able to afford electricity? And to what extent? So those are some of the real good questions that we need to ask ourselves, and also to find a balance. Because having interventions like National Youth Fund, I think that will be a good move in terms of economic inequality. And I hope this fund will be used wisely. And also to create employment for others, and also boost the economy. Because We can say what we can say, but when you look at, for example, SMEs, the contribution of SMEs in GDP is variable. Its contribution to GDP is variable. These are the people that are keeping money circulating in the country. And when we invest more in SMEs, when a youth fund is going to be used wisely in terms of SME development, I think it will really have an impact on the people on the ground, and also it will really help a lot of lives, because it's money spent on the young people and must benefit the young people. And just before we give the mic to Mike, it's always very important for young people to look at issues of collaboration and also issues of sharing information. There are those who are stingy with information, and it's not good at all. Because it's not only you. Imagine and understand that it's not only you who is going to be at information center every day. It's not only you who is going to be at the area where there is information. But let us not be stingy with information. Let us share the information, because person that you are denying information is a person that was going to assist you, or employ your cousin, or employ your friend, and employ your sister. So stinginess should not apply, especially when it's coming to economic information, particularly when the country is in desperate need of addressing issues of inequality, issues of poverty. There is war decreed on poverty. So, I think we come to the end of our early morning scoop, and we just want to thank you for taking time and listening to Early Morning Scoop. And with this, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri with Unpacking the Day. Unpacking the Day. So we are going to give the mic to Mike. Let us look at what do we have in terms of paying the bill, in terms of paying the bills.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Yeah, we are continue with the Early Morning Scoop, and yeah, we are going to give the mic to Mike. We are going to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And yeah, just to emphasize on the points that you have mentioned, especially when it's coming to Youth Development Fund, make sure that you share those information. Don't be stingy with information.
Let's you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika zeitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe duende kuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera Selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniari. Eagle FM, the eye.